AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Kremlin announced it's given political asylum to former Syrian President Bashar Assad. His government collapsed over the weekend and a group of rebels now in control. President Biden said Sunday,
"At long last, the Assad regime has fallen. This regime brutalized and tortured and killed literally hundreds of thousands of innocent Syrians."
U.S. defense officials say they're focused on preventing an ISIS resurgence. President-elect Donald Trump told an interview over the weekend members of the January 6th committee should be jailed. Today, his pick for director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, will meet with Republican lawmakers. She's faced criticism over her prior public support of the Assad regime. Billionaire music mogul Jay-Z added to an existing civil lawsuit against Sean Diddy Combs, accused of sexually assaulting a 13-year-old girl in 2000. He has denied the allegations. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Joker 2 was universally panned as a terrible movie by critics and audiences alike, who in some cases walked out during screenings. There is at least one dissenting voice, though, in director John Waters, who says Joker Folie à Deux is one of the best films of 2024. According to Variety, the director of Hairspray was quoted as saying, "Finally, a love story I can relate to," and added, "Stupid critics, Gaga so good, Joker so right, die, dumbbells die." That's John Waters. If you're curious to see if you agree with Waters or the rest of the world, Folie à Deux drops on HBO Max Friday, December 13th. The film stars Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga and is directed by Todd Phillips, who decided to make the sequel a musical. Critics and audiences seem to agree to a letter, or number, how good or bad the film was, as Rotten Tomatoes posted a 32% from each group. It might be worth a watch, though, and a little less painful if you decide to watch it in the comfort of your own home. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Pack gets ready for Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's back to work for the Packers, who play the Seahawks in Seattle. Next on Sunday Night Football, the Seahawks beat the Cardinals in Arizona yesterday 30-18. Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray throwing two interceptions in the first half that the Seahawks converted into a pair of touchdowns. Women's college volleyball, Wisconsin and Marquette headed to the Sweet 16. The Badgers will face Texas A&M, the Golden Eagles against Utah, both matches set for Friday. NBA, the Bucks at home tomorrow night for an NBA Cup quarterfinal against the Orlando Magic. The Bucks beat the Nets 118-113. Doc Rivers on what made the difference in Brooklyn versus losing in Boston on Friday.
The difference tonight than in the Boston game. Tonight, we trusted everything. Giannis made a great pass to Bobby for a three. Dame had the three, but they were closing out and he swung it to Chris. That's called trust. That's how you win games. When you start doing that, your team becomes unguardable.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, who will address all our health needs to make us more efficient TV watchers. Then Nightlight will really go up in smoke when I welcome Rose Bauman from Legacy Cigars.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy today, becoming breezy by later this afternoon. Our high in the mid to upper 40s with wind southwest at 5 to 15, 15 to 25 here by this afternoon. Tonight, 26. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and colder, 30. On Wednesday, some light snow with a high of only 22. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend, update you on the news, and get you into the holiday season as we prepare to travel to Seattle. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Well, let's hear it for a Monday in Wisconsin in the month of December that's likely to see temperatures pushing back into the mid and upper 40s. Good morning, everyone. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here at the Midwest Farm Report. Busy weekend for my crew. If you've been following us on social media, you know that Charity Seebecker was named the 35 under 35 at the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's annual meeting over the weekend. And Stephanie Hoff, one of the top finalists in the state in the discussion meet. So not only were we covering the event and getting stories, we were participating in the event. We're going to talk more about that with Brad Olson, who is the president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, as we roll our way through. I got a chance to visit with a group, a little different opinion of production agriculture. Family Farm Defenders had their state meeting in Prairie du Sac over the weekend. They are focused in on food sovereignty and trying to make sure consumers are paying attention to their reliance on corporate agriculture. A little bit more on that on the way. And Ben Miller, Senior Vice President of Industry Relations with Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, wants to recap some of the important economic data that was released recently from a UW-Madison survey showing how powerful Wisconsin agriculture is to the state's bottom line. Full cup, as usual. Weather-wise, Stu Muck's on the way in about 15 minutes. I can tell you we've got sunshine coming to Wisconsin again today. High temperatures expected to be near 48 degrees. Winds will be noticeable today out of the west, up to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, partly sunny but cooler, 30 are expected high. And then Wednesday, we've got snow in the forecast. Stu will bring you details in just a moment.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Attention farmers and ranchers, the Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Every agricultural industry is looking forward, anticipation, excitement, nervousness about a new administration coming in, including the National Pork Producers. The president is Lori Stovermore, and she is a Minnesota hog producer. And Lori, as far as your industry and your organization, what are your thoughts, first of all, about this new administration coming in, specifically as far as the hog industry is concerned?
Well, I think some of the words you used in terms of how we view this all fit very well. I mean, certainly looking forward to working with the new administration and pointing out some of the good things that we in the hog industry are doing, whether it's our production practices, our sustainability. Also want to point out the importance of exports to our industry. You know, about 25% of our pork products are exported. That adds about $64 worth of value. So I want to make sure that that continues to be a priority for us and for the new administration.
And this export number is exciting because it's going in the right direction. It's going up. What's the main reason for that, and where are you finding new markets?
Well, it is a positive story for us in the industry, as we've had some challenges over the last year. So exports have been good, and exports are looking good for 2024 also. Mexico continues to be our number number one export market, and so they take about 40% of our hams, which is good. We've seen some increase in exports in Southeast Asia, Central America, Colombia, even places like Australia. There are different parts of the world that like pork. We're a good value. We're a safe, wholesome, nutritious product, and it's good to see that the rest of the world appreciates that.
Give us an update on the China situation. We know what happened over there. They lost their hog herd. They're building it back up. How dependable is China, and how dependable do you as an organization and an industry look at China as far as potential growth for the American U.S. hog industry?
Well, China is still an important market to us. They're about our number three export market. I think the thing we need to keep in mind with China is they take a lot of our pork products that we don't necessarily eat here in the United States. So by taking some of those variety meats, that really adds to the value of the carcass. So I know there's a lot of discussion on tariffs. Anytime there's tariffs, you know, the pork industry typically faces a retaliatory tariff, and so we are concerned about that. But I think we hope that we continue getting in China.
Is concern the word, or is it fear over tariffs? Because bottom line, they're not good.
Let's just say concern at this point. And your point is right, yes. Tariffs are really never good for agriculture. I mean, we as agriculture export a lot of products, whether it's pork or soybeans. So definitely looking ahead and wanting to make sure that, like I said, that the administration understands the value of those exports to us as an industry.
New markets, you mentioned a whole bunch of places, but as far as the industry, are there new markets?
Yeah, you know, there are markets that we continue to expand in, like Central America. There are also markets like South Africa that we've been trying to get into, that there's opportunities to. We're looking forward to renewal of a GSP to allow us to get into that market. That would be a good tool to use. Even some places like India have opportunities to consume pork. So we always want to keep the markets we have, and we want to build at the ones we're in. But certainly some of these other areas that I mentioned are opportunities that we want to take advantage of in the future.
As we look within our borders, give us an update on what's going on with the hog industry as far as consumption, as far as production, as far as environmental challenges. California really is no friend to the pork industry. What's going on?
Domestically, California Prop 12 is still in play. We are looking to the Farm Bill to get a federal solution to that. That patchwork of regulations, whether it's California's Prop 12, Massachusetts Q3, is definitely still on our producers' minds. Economics have been better this last half of the year, so definitely a little breath of fresh air for the industry. Productivity has been good, even though our sow numbers have been down or stable. USDA is showing that our production numbers are up, so I think that's good. We're seeing a bit of increase in demand, and I think that's good also. Pork is a good value compared to beef. So those are some positive things in our favor. Want to continue to look at the environmental issue, environmental areas, and continue to remind people that we as pork producers are sustainable. I would say if we're looking at another victory for the pork industry, we had one in California in the 9th Judicial Court there. The court agreed with EPA that the burden of proof was correct, that farmers aren't polluting or releasing effluent, and so that was really key to our industry, instead of having it automatically assume that pork producers are discharging.
You mentioned the Farm Bill, getting language in the Farm Bill. Has that language been written yet? Did the pork producers help write that language? And what does it say as far as the Farm Bill is concerned?
So the House Ag Committee did pass a version of the Farm Bill, and there was language in there in terms of federal preemption, which basically would say that one state cannot dictate production practices to another. So that would make Prop 12 go away, and California could continue to regulate production in its own state. Senator Bozeman has a framework out there. Senate has not done anything yet. It's just frameworks that would be very similar to that. So that's why we were anxious for Congress to come together during this lame duck session to get that addressed. We'll see whether that happens or not.
Senator Bozeman is one thing. Senator Stabenow is still there. If it's in a lame duck, what have you heard from her office about getting this through?
Yeah, we know there's been conversations between the four corners, as they're called. So I think it's still speculating now if it will happen lame duck or not. But I think it's one reason why we continue to talk to those in leadership, and whether it's our staff or even us as farmers. Just because there might be some changes going forward, that doesn't mean the issue's gone away. That's why we need to continue to visit with people about how important that is to us.
And the environmental issues for the pork industry aren't going to go away. How has the industry addressed those, and what about some of the successes?
Well, the issues are always going to be there, and I think as people get further away from the farm, they're always going to wonder about our production practices and how are we using our resources and water and how are we applying manure. So I think we need to continue to talk about what we do. I know that our farm, we work with a third-party source to kind of verify our production practices so we can show how much greenhouse gas we're removing or how many tons of carbon we're sequestering. That kind of information is important. I think as issues present themselves, for example, in southeastern Minnesota, when there's concern about water quality and nitrates, we need to continue to work with the rest of agriculture to get that information out there on the production practices and keep, whether it's consumers or our agencies, informed on what we're doing. We've had discussions on whether people want science, people believe science, but I do believe that those individuals that are working in agencies and making decisions for us need to see science, and we need to not be afraid of that, showing them that too.
And you mentioned that it's not just an environmental issue, but it's an economic issue that when you do it right, it's beneficial to the up and down the road farmer, as you found on your place.
Yeah, manure definitely has value. On our farm, for example, it was worth about $140 worth of an acre. So not having to buy synthetic fertilizer, but using the manure we have was a cost savings to us. I know that many farms will track what that's worth, and that might be worth, manure as an organic fertilizer, anywhere from $10 to $15 a pig space. So it is a value. And I think that's part of that story that we have to tell too, that especially in the Midwest, when we have corn and soybeans around us, it's really a sustainable cycle. Using the corn and soybeans to feed our pigs, and then taking the manure and putting that out on the crop ground with very scientific methods of application. I mean, testing soil, testing manure, changing the application rate depending on soil fertility. You know, that's all part of that wise use of resources, that sustainability that helps us be around for the next generation.
Starts at home.
Starts at home.
All right. The president of the National Pork Producers, Lori Stevermore, from southern Minnesota, the northern end of the world's longest barn. I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life.
SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Zommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge.
What's your kink?
Snowmen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. It drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
News from the center, WRCE. Dom Selvia.
Jess P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, catch Dom and Jess back in the studio to chop up the news with our favorite FDR Democrat or socialist. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Flipping around the yard, clean the gutters.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Yes, I do. I mean, it was one of those deals where I caught my neighbors outside putting up Christmas ornaments in short sleeves and shorts. A lot of people that enjoyed the outdoors as far as, you know, running or jogging with the dog were in shorts. It was uncanny how wonderful it was, but I worry how long it's going to last.
Well, if you've still got something you really want to do in the mild outdoors, do it today. And then the bottom gets pulled out because it starts to cool off. In fact, we get back to a little below normal already Tuesday and Wednesday. And by later Tuesday into Wednesday, there could be just a little light snow trying to move on through Wisconsin as well. A weak system dropping southeast in the state today doesn't have a real big factor. Did provide a little more clear sky up in the north, some fog, even a dense fog advisory way off the far northwest corner of Wisconsin this morning. So you may find a little fog in the north, but later today, a few more clouds build in. Temperatures will still be quite mild. A little light snow up in North Dakota, northern Minnesota, some rain in the lower peninsula of Michigan, that rain snow lake effect stuff up in the UP. Otherwise, pretty quiet elsewhere. I expect another couple of frontal systems to swing through out of the northwest. Another drops through here on Wednesday. And in fact, even by late Tuesday night into Wednesday, a little bit of light snow may develop way off in the northwest already late Tuesday into Tuesday night. Not until Wednesday or late Wednesday in the far southeast. Not a big system, not a big deal. Just a little light snow may develop as that front moves on through. But it's the passage of that front that will allow that cooler air to really settle in. And that's when those temperatures will be getting a lot colder. Certainly a major change from the weekend where we were in the 40s. Down in the 20s, even upper teens as we head toward Wednesday and Thursday. We turn it around a little bit for the weekend coming up. Could be a little light snow again late in the week. I'll have more forecast details right after this.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now is the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Helena Agri Reps are busy right now pulling a lot of information from combines and the harvest of 2024. Steve Bailey is one of those that's going over the data. He is the branch manager in Monroe. And Steve, you tell me that your team is ready to partner with farmers that are looking at those numbers and thinking about their options for 2025.
I got a great team in my plant here, and you know, give them a shot, talk to them, whether it's changing your population and the seed, the variety that you have out there, hybrid. There are certain varieties and hybrids that respond differently to side dress UAN or growth stimulant, stuff like that. Whoever you're buying your seed from, it doesn't just end there. You need to really understand what makes that tick. No different than growing cattle. Some are great milkers, and some are just average milkers but produce good calves. So understanding that out in the field is a big deal.
Agreed. Steve Bailey, branch manager in Monroe for Helena Agri. Give him a shot at helenaagri.com. All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast.
All right, get out and do more stuff today as I expect some sunshine, more clouds building in from the north and west through the day, but all in all, very fine conditions. Even far north, mid-40s, upper-40s in the south, and the winds out of the west, 5 to 15. Now, as we make our way into the night, a few more clouds roll in, call it partly cloudy many spots, and we'll fall into the low to mid-20s with the west wind at 5 to 15. Partly sunny Tuesday, oh, we could still be near 30 in the south. In the 20s further north, some of that very light snow may develop and start moving in northwest a bit further south and east during the day and the night. And I expect those temperatures to get a little cooler Wednesday, still a little snow in the south, only low 20s, maybe 20 at best in the northwest, Pam. strong northwest winds Wednesday really helped reinforce the cold air, taking us on toward Thursday.
Do we have much in the way of precipitation, you think, coming out of this snow?
No, the Wednesday one, you know, if we get a good dusting here or there, that's about it. And with those winds, it's going to blow all over. So just limited visibilities and yuck.
All right. Well, we'll check in and follow the details. Thanks, Stu. Catch up with you tomorrow, buddy.
All right. See you then.
Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your financial partner. Whether it's agriculture or that rural slice of life, they're ready to help you. All kinds of details and offices available near you, located at Compure.com. Boy, I'll tell you, the crew was busy over the weekend at the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's convention. Details on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Before a new Democratic governor takes office in January and it loses its supermajority, the GOP-controlled North Carolina legislature used a hurricane relief bill to strip power from the governor and attorney general. The draconian changes hinge on a pending veto override vote in the state house. The bare-knuckle bill was short on hurricane relief and long on keeping power out of the hands of Democrats. Earlier this year, a 2023 bill attempting to strip the power of the governor to appoint county election boards was struck down by the state's Court of Appeals. Now, Senate Bill 382 tries to remove that power by shifting it to the incoming state auditor, a Republican. In his veto message, current Governor Roy Cooper called the bill a sham and unconstitutional, and Democrats have declared it an outrageous power grab. The bill also includes a proposed constitutional amendment requiring voter ID for mail-in ballots and bans the Attorney General from opposing the legislature in court. The state Senate voted December 2nd to override Cooper's veto, and the House vote is pending. North Carolina Newsline reports that it's unclear whether Republicans have the vote in the House to override, with three House GOP lawmakers unhappy with the inadequate hurricane relief funding having voted against the original bill. We have the text of the bill and great local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Alba Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Kremlin announced it's given political asylum to former Syrian President Bashar Assad. His government collapsed over the weekend and a group of rebels now in control. President Biden said Sunday,
at long last, the Assad regime has fallen. This regime brutalized and tortured and killed literally hundreds of thousands of innocent Syrians.
U.S. defense officials say they're focused on preventing an ISIS resurgence. President-elect Donald Trump told an interview over the weekend members of the January 6th committee should be jailed. Today, his pick for director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, will meet with Republican lawmakers. She's faced criticism over her prior public support of the Assad regime. Billionaire music mogul Jay-Z added to an existing civil lawsuit against Sean Diddy Combs, accused of sexually assaulting a 13-year-old girl in 2000. He has denied the allegations. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Brace yourself for a new Hollywood reboot, folks. Scrubs ran for 7 seasons from 2001 to 2008 on NBC and then 2 seasons on ABC. The original executive producer and showrunner, Bill Lawrence, will also commandeer the reboot, but as of right now, there is no cast yet attached. Maybe they should cast those two guys from the T-Mobile commercials. Looking for a good murder mystery? You might want to check out the show Cross. Cross is based on the best-selling Alex Cross novels by James Patterson and is quickly gaining viewers. The show logged 40 million views in its first 20 days of release, making it the 6th most viewed show ever on Amazon Prime. Aldous Hodge plays the brilliant Alex Cross, a detective and forensic psychologist who pursues serial killers. Season 1 is currently available to stream. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Pack gets ready for Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's back to work for the Packers, who play the Seahawks in Seattle. Next on Sunday Night Football, the Seahawks beat the Cardinals in Arizona yesterday 30-18. Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray throwing 2 interceptions in the first half that the Seahawks converted into a pair of touchdowns. Women's college volleyball, Wisconsin and Marquette headed to the Sweet 16. The Badgers will face Texas A&M, the Golden Eagles against Utah, both matches set for Friday. NBA, the Bucks at home tomorrow night for an NBA Cup quarterfinal against the Orlando Magic. The Bucks beat the Nets 118-113. Doc Rivers on what made the difference in Brooklyn versus losing in Boston on Friday.
The difference tonight than in the Boston game. Tonight, we trusted everything. Giannis made a great pass to Bobby for a 3. Dame had the 3, but they were closing out and he swung it to Chris. That's called trust. That's how you win games. When you start doing that, your team becomes unguardable.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. It's Motown Monday. We'll catch up on the news from the weekend and talk about the politricksters of the day.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy today, becoming breezy by later this afternoon. Our high in the mid to upper 40s with winds southwest at 5 to 15, 15 to 25 here by this afternoon. Tonight, 26. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and colder, 30. On Wednesday, some light snow with a high of only 22. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@AmericanFoodsGroup.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turn public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Aaron Zommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge.
What's your kink?
Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Last time they'll play against the Lions this season.
Yeah, we're going to see them again. We're going to see them again. That's the beauty of it all, you know. Take these feelings, process them, and go back to work.
What a great turnout over the weekend for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's 105th annual convention. They had their Young Farmers and Agriculturalists event Friday night that we helped to host, and then on to the business session and competitive events. Details on that up in just a moment. Welcome back, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, so glad you're along with us on this, the 9th day of December. Doesn't feel like December out there right now, though, does it? Let's see. On this day, back in 1979, the World Health Organization declared that officially the world had eradicated smallpox. Only two infectious diseases have ever been completely eradicated in history. The other is Rinderpest, which was a disease of cattle. They eradicated that in 2011. So on this day in 1979, smallpox gone from the earth. On this day in 1965, a Charlie Brown Christmas made its television debut. Comic strip with the Peanuts. The special was critically acclaimed as a telling commentary on the loss of the spirit of Christmas among Americans. Now it's screened pretty much every year around the world. A Charlie Brown Christmas came to be on TV this day back in 1965. And happy birthday to actor John Malkovich. He is 71 years young today. And now you know. Well, you know that we were busy all weekend if you've been following us on social media. The Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation involved not only staff competing, but also a lot of stories generated. Stephanie Hoff took a moment to catch up with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's president.
This morning kicks off the business meeting at the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's annual convention in the Wisconsin Dells after a weekend of workshops and networking. Today, delegates will get together to discuss and vote on policy proposals for the year. I caught up with Wisconsin Farm Bureau President Brad Olson to recap his first year as president and what he anticipates will be the top priorities in 2025.
Well, it was certainly like drinking out of a fire hose at the start. No denying that the first 3 months were pretty hectic, not rough to get through, but a hard go, the learning experience, all of that. But I think overall it's been absolutely great. It has been a tremendous experience, and would not trade it for the world, and look to moving on again and being hopefully reelected tomorrow to do it again. It's a good job.
Recap some of Wisconsin Farm Bureau's wins.
I think for me personally, the biggest one was being able to work with the Badger State Sheriff's Association. Get these stickers out there. They're in virtually every county cop car in the state of Wisconsin for mental health issues, and not just for farmers, veterans, but as well as children. And that looks like it's going to really take off and move. I mean, we've started there. We've had interest. I had a milk co-op that wanted stickers to put in their milk checks and sent to every patron. So I think that's great. I think that's something that we at Wisconsin Farm Bureau can look forward to really having legs and making an impact in mental health issues, not just for farmers, but for everybody around the state.
Well, speaking of members, congrats on surpassing 51,000 members, the first time Farm Bureau's done that in 30 years. That's quite an accomplishment.
It is, and again, we have to thank, there was 47 members around the state who signed up, 366 members who made the Farm Bureau Proud Club. That's great. But also, we had 540 new voting members this year, for the most since 2008, as well as the first time in 35 years that every county made a total gain in membership. So that's it's been an outstanding year, and it's taken everybody to get the job done. All hands on deck.
Farm Bureau is a grassroots organization, so it's the membership that funnels ideas, policy recommendations to the top to be enacted in the state legislature and in Congress. As we get together at convention, what are some of the top themes that your members are bringing up to you that should be a priority in 2025?
Well, and I think from the policy level, we're going back to grassroots. I think we look at the logger meeting that was held last April. That was truly a grassroots. It was exactly what Farm Bureau is about. It was a bottom-up issue, and we got together, and we had state senators there and solved the problem. I'll say, you don't win them all, but we won that one. And then also the ability to just the mental health stickers. We talked about that last night. That was not a top-down vision of get this sticker out there. This was a bottom-up. It was a member going to a district coordinator and up the chain. And I think that's just great. And we just look forward to more of that in 2025 and years ahead, that the grassroots membership drive what the state does.
Tell me about the logger meeting.
Oh, right. So back in February, there was word that the assembly had already passed the bill that would have allowed Michigan log trucks, Upper Peninsula Michigan, log trucks to come into Wisconsin on certain routes, not every road, but they would have weighed up to 160,000 pounds, where, we can run 80,000, 90,000. And they weigh out axle-wise, but it would have really put our loggers and log haulers at a competitive disadvantage. We'd have had to haul two loads for every one load of theirs. Would have been extremely hard on our infrastructure of our roads. Even if they can axle that weight out, 160,000 pounds is 160,000 pounds. And word started to spread. Loggers got engaged, started calling Farm Bureau members. And it truly was. It was a groundswell of grassroots support that got it done. At the end of the day, the senator who was sponsoring the bill on the Senate side heard about the meeting. No one invited him. He actually called Farm Bureau members and said, "Can I come to the meeting?" He came with another state senator. Probably 2 hours of good conversation. It never came to the floor. So that's who we are at Farm Bureau. That's what we're about. It's about the grassroots. Just a truly great example of what Farm Bureau is all about.
Elections for the Farm Bureau Board, including the presidency, are happening today as well. Current Farm Bureau President Brad Olson taking some time with us. From the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Convention in the Wisconsin Dells, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Get insurance from a company who knows Wisconsin and cares about your community. You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home and auto rates? Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more about products and discounts.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Attention farmers and ranchers, the Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Want to follow up on Stephanie and Brad's conversation and let you know that last evening during the Farm Bureau Federation's special award ceremony, Mike Strupp, a Farm Bureau member from Washington County, was given their highest Farm Bureau award that it gives to members, the Distinguished Service to Farm Bureau Award. Mike's done an awful lot of things with Washington County Farm Bureau and has excelled at getting new members to sign up. So congratulations to him. Also, congratulations last night to Dr. Mark Stevenson, now retired dairy economist from UW-Madison. He received the Distinguished Service to Wisconsin Agriculture Award and was joined on stage by his wife. Good to see Mark again, so congratulations to both. Like I said, their business session will conclude today. We'll be following up tomorrow with policy. Also tomorrow, we'll find out about a different farm organization that was meeting over the weekend that has differing opinions from the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. Family Farm Defenders gathered together in Prairie du Sac, and they are all about making sure consumers are aware of food sovereignty. We'll talk about that tomorrow right here. First, we've got to get a check-in on the markets for a Monday morning, which are holding firm, at least as of right now. March corn's unchanged at 440. December new crop up a half at 438. January soybeans are up a penny at 995. November new crop up a half at 1005. March wheat right now 5.5 cents higher at 563. July new crop's up 5.5 at 577. Dairy markets on Friday. The barrel cheese was up 4.75 cents to 169. 40-pound block cheese gained 3.5 to 170. The AA butter, that was up a half at 254.5 per pound. Now this morning, the January Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 2 at 1943 a hundredweight. One story that was announced on Friday that does not impact Wisconsin right now is that the U.S. Department of Agriculture has issued a new federal order for dairy companies in six different states that are going to be required to test their milk for any signs of H5N1. It's a way to kind of monitor the nation's milk supplies. The way that I understand it, as of now, the six states that are going to be involved in the milk testing include Colorado, California, Michigan, Mississippi, Oregon, and Pennsylvania. Those are the six states that will be included in the first round of testing, according to USDA. We'll be bringing you more on that story as the week unfolds. Right now, no dairy animals in Wisconsin have tested positive for H5N1, and we are not currently under the federal requirements of milk testing. Wisconsin already has its own monitoring system in place. Coming up next, more about dairy, but this time the holiday impact of dairy and dairy's impact on the state. Stand by.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he is featured in an article in the Cap Times, and he's the host of Nightlight. Across Civic Media, Pete Schwabba will be joining us. And, of course, this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Information that you're looking for. But today we're focused in on information that really Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin didn't have anything to do with as far as compilation is concerned. You might have heard us talking about it on the radio with Steve Deller and Jeff Hatacek, two researchers from the UW-Madison that routinely, every 5 years, take a look at the Census of Agriculture and try to put together numbers that basically explain the value of Wisconsin agriculture to the state as a whole. We got those numbers. They're big numbers. And today in studio with us is Ben Miller, Senior Vice President of Industry Relations with Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, to drill down on maybe a couple points that you might have missed, or maybe give you something a little bit easier to understand than just graphs and demographics. Ben, thanks for coming in. It's a big report. We don't want to make light of the content that's in that report. For the purposes of our conversation, though, we want to kind of winnow it in just to the power of agriculture, number one, for Wisconsin, and the power of dairy as part of Wisconsin agriculture.
Great. Great to see you, Pam. Happy holidays, and thanks for having us in to talk about this really exciting report. You know, Jeff and Steve at UW, every 5 years, as you mentioned, put together this economic impact report. And I'm not an economist. You're not an economist. I don't pretend to be an economist. And you don't have to be an economist to look at the summary of this report and be just excited and thrilled about the direction of Wisconsin agriculture. All things are looking up, right? The overall number for agriculture is up 11% from 5 years ago to $116 billion a year. That's all of Wisconsin agriculture. And to put that into some perspective, that's more than double the entire state of Wisconsin's annual budget. And dairy is almost 50% of that. And that number is up 16% from 5 years ago to nearly $53 billion. And the number of dairy processing plants is up almost 50% to almost 250 plants across the state. So all indications are really looking good, really strong growth. And let's not forget, over the last 5 years, something was going on in the world, and that was the pandemic. And so our dairy farmers, our dairy industry, our ag industry, even in the face of the pandemic, where the world was in many ways shutting down, our folks were working harder than ever, and these numbers are proving it out.
Well, and the other thing that pandemic did is have people had time to recognize the value of Wisconsin agriculture, Wisconsin dairy, the uniqueness of our products and flavor profiles. And like I said, you know, there's a lot of people that may criticize all the time people spend on social media, all the time that people spend in front of screens. But boy, during the pandemic, Ben, that really helped Wisconsin tell its story.
No, absolutely. And you think about, you know, the consumption trends over the course of those, you know, two to three years. Let me also share, you know, every pound of cheese, $17 runs through the state's economy. For every gallon of milk, $14. And that's supporting our dairy farmers, supporting the cheesemakers and all of the suppliers. And that was humming really strong and continues to be really a strong indication of the trajectory of our ag industry. You and I talk a lot about, you know, Wisconsin wouldn't be Wisconsin without agriculture. And this report, independent, put together by these economists, validate that really important point that Wisconsin is agriculture, and we wouldn't be who we are without it.
Absolutely. You know, the other thing that report pointed out is you may not realize, unless you slow down and think about the chain, jobs that are connected to agriculture, all agriculture, from food processing, which was a part of the research from Deller and Hedicek, right on through to production agriculture, we're responsible for a lot of jobs.
No, absolutely. Local economy, you know, think about the employment, the jobs throughout the local job sector. And the other, key point here is that agriculture is integrated. It's not just a rural thing, right? Mm-hmm. It is integrated throughout the state, the supply chain, the clusters around different parts of our state, the regions where you have strong dairy. I think is also a really critical point. And I also want to add, you know, dairy alone generates about $3 billion in total tax revenue and $700 million to the state tax revenue and $430 million to local governments across the state. That's really strong and really important.
We have to remember that Wisconsin has formed about 2 years ago, the Wisconsin Ag Export Council. We're lucky that Chad Vincent, who's CEO of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, chairs that independent council to see and over kind of help move grant monies out to some good ideas on where Wisconsin, not just dairy, but where Wisconsin agriculture products can end up. And it's amazing to see that story.
Yeah, I think your listeners are have probably heard us talk about the 90-90 rule, right? 90% of our milk gets turned into cheese, and 90% of that cheese gets shipped outside of Wisconsin, including, you know, outside of the United States. And so I know Chad and Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and DATCAP and other partners across the state are looking at those opportunities as a, as another way to grow our industry.
Again, folks, like we said, if you have not had a chance to pause and take a look at some of the numbers, I understand if you're like me and Ben, we're not economists, it kind of can get me heavy reading for a while. But there is that executive summary that Ben alluded to, wisconsindairy.org. If you are involved in the industry, you definitely want to look at it. If you're a foodie, you might want to take a look at it and have a little respect for the years and years of dedication that it's taken to build this. And like we said, Ben, the good news is where we're going and what the next 5 year summary might look like.
Absolutely. The future is bright, and all of that is thanks in part to our dairy farmers and our partners across the state.
We are pleased to bring that information to you, especially during the holiday season. A lot of reason to give thanks for sure. And we're grateful that Steve Deller and Jeff Hadacek came up with the information, compiled it, and presented it so understandably, so incredibly friendly to the consuming public. Take a look at it. WisconsinDairy.org. This update brought to you courtesy of our friends at Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. But remember, the economic information we shared completely independent of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. Ben Miller in studio, Senior Vice President of Industry Relations with Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, to recap some of the highlights.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Purdue University ag economists find optimism in farm country today on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back to back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
People have clearly gotten a lot more optimistic these last 2 months, both before the election and then following through the presidential election.
That's Jim Mintert, head of the Center for Commercial Agriculture at Purdue University, in response to the November edition of the Purdue and CME Group Ag Economy Barometer. He says the November results were expected to be more optimistic, but not that much more.
You know, at that time, we attributed part of it to the fact that we had such strong yields in much of the U.S., especially in the Corn Belt, pretty good harvest weather, et cetera. And I think that probably was a contributing factor again, but not enough to give us the kind of boost that we saw.
Mintert's colleague, Michael Langemeyer, says he can understand what farmers are thinking about future expectations.
But the index of current conditions is a little bit more of a head-scratcher, because I would think that one would be more based on the fundamentals, and the fundamentals haven't changed all that much.
Langemeyer says farmer optimism a few years out means looking past what's happening now.
We are seeing maybe slight decline in break-evens, but the key word is slight there, and prices look like they're going to be similar, if not maybe a little bit higher than the current prices, but not much higher. And so 24 and 25, from a financial projection standpoint, look like pretty tough years for crop farmers.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, who will address all our health needs to make us more efficient TV watchers. Then Nightlight will really go up in smoke when I welcome Rose Bauman from Legacy Cigars.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@AmericanFoodsGroup.com.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest. The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.